Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, guys, how we do over-under before the season starts when it comes to wins for an NFL team?
Yeah.
So there have been three teams, okay, since the beginning of the season that went down in the most total wins that they were expected to have. Can you name those three teams?
Went down. I'll say the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
I'll say the Commanders.
Nope.
No.
Nope. The Bengals, right, with the injury?
I'm not saying that they haven't gone down. I'm saying have gone down the most.
Cincinnati.
Nope.
Even with Burrow out? Wow.
Yep.
Gone down the most.
Since the beginning of the season. So all three of these teams, the Ravens including, have basically went down three games. So in other words, the Ravens, I think, were at 11.5 mm-hmm. over-under. Their over-under now is 8.5.
The Texans?
Nope.
Steelers?
Nope.
Raiders?
Jaguars?
Nope, nope.
Oh. I don't know.
Wow.
Cardinals and Dolphins are the other two.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Eddie, going to watch your Dolphins tonight?
No chance.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. It'll be in bed by 6 o'clock.
Do you have a prediction for tonight's game?
I actually think the Dolphins are going to win the game.
Wow. How about that? Ooh, hot take Scazzeri. That's what they call him. I'm telling you.
That would be something.
Bringing the heat. Yeah, I don't subscribe to that theory, but who the hell knows? It's the NFL, and it's hard to predict, Jerry. You know
sure
what I'm saying?
Yeah. Wow. Yes.
Look at our picks.
We've embarrassed ourselves for 3 years.
Yeah. Well, I will say, though, that since the start of our new picks, we are all with winning records.
Look at that.
Yeah. I believe you are 7-3 and Boomer and I are 6-4.
Not bad. Not bad,
Jerry.
We're giving out winners.
Yeah, winners. That's what we do.
That's right.
All right, Jerry, what's going on, man?
We're brought to you by Chef IQ, precision cooking, effortless results, chefiq.com. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody, since you're talking about the Dolphins and the Ravens. We'll have it on The Fan tonight at 8 p.m., week 9 of the NFL. Sunday, the Giants take on the Niners. Wednesday, Dexter Lawrence was talking to reporters, and he was replying or responding to comments made about him by Carl Banks. So to take you back, just for context, here were a few from Carl on his podcast talking about where Dexter Lawrence is right now this season as a player.
Dexter Lawrence, nobody respects you anymore. Nobody. Your opponents do not. The pre-injury Dexter is not there in their heads.
And Carl goes on to say he's having no impact defensively.
You're on the field. They're blocking you with a 9-year backup center. You're not making a difference. The old Dexter Wood.
And then the last one, time to get moving.
It's time for you to start expecting more of yourself. I don't know if you're injured. I don't know if you've fully recovered. But it's time to start asking more of yourself because they don't respect you.
All right, so now you go into the locker room yesterday, and he was asked, this is Lawrence, do comments like that get you motivated?
Nah, but if people listen to him, then you go, then let's say this. I hope people start trying to disrespect me. Let's say that.
Okay, fair enough. What do you think, though, when he says things like that?
I don't really know what he's watching, but hey, he can say what he want. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, trying to help us get a win. That's it.
But that was Carl Banks. Doesn't that mean something?
Those are strong words, but that's how you feel.
Does it mean more to you that, does it mean more, those words mean more that they're coming from him?
No.
Like a giant legend?
No.
No. Why not?
So typical.
He's delusional. No.
So typical.
Of?
Somebody has a strong take on somebody, and the guy goes running over to somebody else and says, did you hear what he said? Did you hear what he said? I mean, you know. It's like the last thing that Dexter Lawrence needs.
But why
I mean,
wouldn't, if you're a reporter, why wouldn't you go ask him for his response to that? The guy's in your building. He's a giant legend. I would think they're not doing their job if they don't ask.
And he does your games, and he's there for every game, and he's seen every game. So I would take what Carl was saying. I would take it as a guy with enormous credibility. You know, and it's probably a very hard pill to swallow for Dexter Lawrence. And Carl isn't the only one that thinks that Dexter Lawrence isn't playing up to what Dexter Lawrence should be playing up to, whether it be injury or whether it be anything else going on, or maybe it be game planning. But Carl was very pointed about this 9-year backup center that was blocking him. Now, they don't always block one-on-one. Sometimes it looks like they start one-on-one and then they switch off at the guard, or the guard comes over and helps. I mean, I don't know.
Well, what Carl was doing, I think, was trying to motivate Dexter Lawrence. That's what I think he thought he was doing. I don't think he wanted to disrespect him. I thought he was probably thinking, hey, if I do this and Dexter hears it, maybe that'll wake him up, because whatever the hell's going on and nobody's paying attention and no one's waking him up within that locker room, so let me try to do it. And it sounded like it worked for a second. I mean, he was sort of contradicting himself, Dexter. He's like, I hope people start disrespecting me. And then went on to say that he was delusional. So,
well, you know, the interesting thing is you can find all over social media – like different fan bases, you know, highlighting different players at their positions, which is amazing. And the fans know when a guy is playing well and when he's not. You remember the whole Evan Neal thing when he kept falling down?
Yeah.
Like once the fan base saw that, it was like, boom, he's done. We're done with him. So, I mean, these things don't come just willy-nilly. I mean, there's actual proof on tape. That's the problem that the players have.
The Jets are off this week. They did acquire John Metchie from the Eagles for cornerback Michael Carter. The Lions signed Aiden Hutchinson, 4 years, $180 million, $141, I believe, said to be guaranteed. Detroit plays Minnesota Sunday. Here's Carson Wentz. We know what he's going through. Shoulder surgery needed. He says he was playing through pain because he wanted to.
The whole time I felt I can still help this team. You know, at the end of the day, I knew what I was signing up for. It wasn't like anyone was forcing me to go. I mean, this is my 10th year in the league. There's a lot bigger things in my life to worry about, so I wasn't going to do anything that would be detrimental to my own health.
And so now it's back to J.J. McCarthy as the starter.
And the reason he says that is because people were not complaining, but wondering why the Vikings would put a player out on the field that's obviously injured. And like I always say, it always comes back to the player, and the player has to make the decision. And smarter heads sometimes have to prevail to keep the player from hurting themselves by going out there because they want to lead. But I guess in this case, the Vikings really had no other choice.
Yeah, and I don't understand why there's been no traction with Jameis Winston at all in any of these places.
Nothing.
I mean, we clearly know that Jackson Dart is going to start as long as he is healthy. And then you have another guy there in Russell Wilson who had his struggles, but we know can play the position. And Jameis just sitting there as the third-string quarterback with all these injuries around. I would love to see Jameis Winston start slinging it around in Minnesota in that dome with those wide receivers.
Him to Justin Jefferson.
Oh, my God, it would be amazing.
Well, it'd be like Joe Flacco with Jamar Chase and T. Higgins.
Yeah. I mean, the Vikings went on and they signed that John Wolford, who was the other guy in that game that you did that was like the worst quarterback matchup in the history of the world.
Arizona and the Rams.
Yeah, with Chris Streveler and John Wolford.
That's when Canada got mad at you.
Yeah, they got mad at me. And that was during COVID, and it was in L.A., and there was nobody in the stadium.
Yeah.
Oh, it was brutal. But it was great doing a game with Jim Nance.
So I don't know. And I understand, you know, that Wolford was with the Rams when O'Connell was there. And I understand all that. But it's just, you would think with all of these injuries that, and the Giants have two guys that aren't going to see the field unless Jackson Dart gets hurt, that have a combined, like, a gazillion starts in the NFL. They're just sitting there. I don't understand it.
With about a week to go before the trade deadline.
Yeah, and the amazing thing is the Giants have two wins.
Yeah, like, what are you holding on to people for?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Football Giants. Speaking of those Giants, Carl Banks, a former friend of the program, had some scathing things to say about Dexter Lawrence. Instead of us paraphrasing, why don't we just let you listen to what Carl Banks had to say on the Believe Network on his podcast with Bob Papa.
Dexter Lawrence, nobody respects you anymore. Nobody. Your opponents do not. The pre-injury Dexter is not there in their heads. They don't respect you. And there's a difference. You're on the field. They're blocking you with a 9-year backup center. You're not making a difference. The old Dexter would. Okay? There are a lot of things that go into your performance. Only you know what that is, whether you're still recovering or not. I'm just telling you now, I'm looking at enough tape to know that your opponents don't respect you. Not like they used to. And here's the thing. When Darius Alexander gets in the game, when Roy Robinson gets in the game and they substitute for you, those guys DJ Davidson, those guys are making plays against the same guys that are blocking you. I'm going to just say this. Again, I don't know the circumstances. It's time for you to start expecting more of yourself. I don't know if you're injured. I don't know if you've fully recovered. But it's time to start asking more of yourself because they don't respect you.
Wow.
I mean, that's as critical as it gets. And my only issue with that, and obviously we have great respect for Carl's opinion on these things. He's as locked in on the Giants as anybody else. My only issue with that is why would he say that he doesn't know if he's injured? Isn't Carl Banks with the team all the time? Like, can't he just walk up to him and be like, hey, Dex, are you injured? Like, he should know. That's the advantage that Carl Banks would have being around the team. So just go find out. If we said that, Carl would be like, well, you know, you guys don't know what you're talking about. You're not around the team. Well, Carl, you're around the team. Why don't you ask Dexter Lawrence if he's in fact injured? And then maybe that would eliminate you being so critical of him. But either way, a Giants great questioning Dexter Lawrence play this season.
I mean, that is about as big a hit down as you're going to get. I mean, that's hard, man. And it's accurate because Dexter Lawrence has been terrible. I've been saying now for he's been stealing money. I'm happy somebody else said it that actually played because I'm just going to carry more weight than what I say. It's Carl Banks. So this guy got $60 million guaranteed a couple of years. I think that was May of 2023 when he extended up for 4 years, $87 million. I know they restructured a little bit there, but you're talking a lot of money coming his way, and he looks disengaged, he looks out of shape, and he's getting pushed around. Now, to answer your question, it's just a guess on my part. Like, why doesn't he go up and ask him on the team plane? And,
well, he's saying he doesn't know.
I know. Right. I'm with you. Yeah. It's a good question. Now, Hoff's on the team playing. Hoff travels. He's there. So I know how this goes. I would do it with the Knicks. You have access to Dexter Lawrence. Go and ask him. I actually think that's Carl's, because at his core, Carl is not a hit piece kind of guy. That's not how he operates. As we know, that's why we had the issue with him a little bit, even though we were just being honest, not a hit piece. I think that he said that to offset a little bit of his messaging. This is a guess. I think that Carl knows that he's not hurt, but he's leaving the door slightly ajar, so it's not 1,000% disrespect.
Well, remember, after week one, it was either week one or week two, but I'm pretty sure it was week one, we had Baldy on, and Baldy was the first to say it about Dexter Lawrence, and I was like, whoa. And then from there, I started to hear some rumblings that maybe he wasn't 100% healthy. Now, since then, you've been getting on him pretty good. People have been questioning him, and now Carl Banks comes out and just rips him to shreds. I'm still not, now I'm not breaking down the film the way that those guys are. Actually, we'll ask Baldy. We have him coming on today. We could ask him again about what he thinks of Dexter Lawrence and those flat out Carl's comments about Dexter Lawrence. I don't look at Dexter Lawrence saying he's a problem. I'll disagree with you. I'm not saying he's been great. I don't look at him saying, well, he's the weak link. I mean, we don't know about the double teams and things like that that's been thrown at him. Now, Carl Wood,
they
he
do.
Should.
So does Baldy.
Well, we'll find out again from Baldy himself, and you heard it from Carl right there. If that's the case, I mean, something's got to be going on because a player that good should not be playing that, should not be underperforming to the level where he's starting to get ripped to shreds.
Yeah.
By guys.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. Okay, so it's a couple of things. It's got to be one of the following. Number one, and I'm just throwing it out there, he got paid, he got lazy, and we've seen it before, and he's checked out a little bit, and now he's getting pushed around. Possibility number one. Possibility number two, he is banged up,
right.
Okay? Possibility number three, and I discount this immediately, like if the Giants didn't have a Burns or a Thibodeau and obviously Abdul Carter, not with the sacks, but doing some other good things, getting to the quarterback in terms of pressures. Like, if there was nobody else on the defense and they could just constantly double-team, you know, Dexter Lawrence, because when you're the opposing coordinator, you're like, all right, they've got one guy that could blow up our offense. Let's make sure we take care of the big boy in the middle with double teams and we could just destroy everybody else. That's not the case because the Giants do have other good players. So it's not an extra devotion of resources to stop the great, unstoppable Dexter Lawrence. So I put that aside. So it's either he's hurt or he got paid and got lazy. That's it.
Yeah, one of the guys I trust with this stuff, we talk about him all the time, Bobby Skinner, who breaks down the Giants film. I mean, he's a sicko. As a matter of fact, if I were the Giants, and I say this with sincerity, I would actually hire Bobby Skinner. I think he could be an asset to their organization in some way, shape, or form. Anyway, he breaks down the film. He does the podcast, all this stuff with Giants Nation podcast. And he was saying today, I saw him send something out there, that it wasn't Bowen's schemes that were the problem in this particular game, that it was more on the defensive players. Now, he didn't get into specifics of it, but for me, if you, even somebody who doesn't need to break down the film, I don't like Bowen's schemes in specific cases with the prevent defense in the final minute of the game when you have a lead. Like, that to me is just so blatantly obvious. Even a rando like me can decipher that. However, I also know enough to know that I don't care what scheme it is. When you got players like Abdul Carter, Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, your defense should be more impactful than it's been. We've been saying that since week one. Here we are now going into week nine, and that defense has just not been that impactful. And according to Bobby, and I would say this myself, like, it's more on the players to figure it out. The scheme is one thing. Playing guys out of position early on with Carter, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Being aggressive, okay, that's another thing. But the players themselves also got to make some plays. They're undermanned in the secondary where it's weak. The linebacking core, not that great. And obviously up front, if you can't stop the run with Dexter Lawrence, and if whether he's getting doubled, whether he's banged up, whatever it may be,
yeah,
then you need the linebackers to step up, and those guys aren't doing the job. Man, not only that, PT, on top of that, they're supposed to be an elite pass-rushing team, and that hasn't been there.
I mean, it's not Lawrence Taylor coming off the edge, yeah, you know, right, looking to get Randall Cunningham. He is a big, strong man who is very hard to move, and his ability to penetrate and get in the backfield and stop the run and disrupt things at the first point, that's why he got $60 million guaranteed. So the inability for the Giants as a group collectively to stop the run, I'm sorry. I think it starts with him. I mean, they got sliced up for 273 the other day. They're third worst in the NFL in terms of, you know, yards per game on the season. They averaged eight. Now, again, when you have 165-yard run by Saquon, it's going to distort the numbers, to be fair. But they allowed over 8 yards a pop against Philly, man. 8 yards. So that's not necessarily Burns or Abdul Carter, who's been out of position early in the year, or even Kayvon or some of the safeties. I think it starts with him. I really do. And I don't think... I'm going to go back to this. I know we'll get back to the calls, yeah, here. I really, knowing how Carl is buttoned up and very, very reticent to forget about destroy, to even throw remote shade at players. Like, he, right, doesn't really do that much.
And that was an attack.
That was, yeah. So to me, I've got to believe for Carl to go out of his boundaries, if you will, he's got to know that Dexter Lawrence is not hurt. Because if it was up for interpretation, he will not say it the way he just said it. That's right, my opinion.
But he did question the injured thing. So whether he was softening it or not, to me, that made him sound worse because he should know definitively. And if you're going to do it, just do it. And you wonder how that's going to go over in the locker room there. I mean, Carl's been a guy who's been supportive of the players.
He has been.
And now you're taking on Dexter Lawrence like that. It's become national news or whatever, at least news enough in this town.
As it should be. Yeah. And by the way, if those guys have a problem with it, tough. I mean, he's a multi-time champion, one of the great linebackers in Giants history. Get over it. I don't care what they have. Like, who cares what they think in that locker room? They can't win anything.
Yeah, I know, but you don't also want to ruffle feathers to that level. I mean,
yeah,
that's,
yeah, whatever. That doesn't bother me.
Well, I mean...
I mean, it might bother them, to your point, but like, if I'm Dexter... Yeah, if I'm Dexter Lawrence, I'm pissed. I seek out Carl on the plane, yeah, or the bus. Well, maybe it motivates him to wake up from his doldrums. Dude, honestly, and I'm with you, and I try to stay in the lane here. I'm not scouring film. I, yeah, don't know what Baldy knows. I don't know one millionth of what Carl knows. I get that. But I know when I see a guy get paid, and then there is this precipitous fall from where he was, which was maybe the best in the NFL, to a guy that's getting sliced up every week, something's wrong.
Did you find it odd at all that Carl would do this, but when we've had him on for a while, like, we were just simply asking.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, okay, we had our opinions on Kayvon Thibodeau. Tell us why we're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't happen, you know, because I have regrets about that interview, of course. I hate the way that whole thing ended.
We both do. We both do.
No, well, you were friends with Carl. I was not, but I had great respect for him. Like, I'm the one person at this station who's had his jersey.
The irony is that, yeah, during that blow-up, Sal's wearing a Banks jersey.
I wasn't wearing a Banks jersey.
I thought you were.
I was wearing a different jersey during that interview, but I've had the Banks jersey
before.
Why
did you wear the Banks jersey that day?
No.
You weren't?
I'm pretty sure I was wearing a Hostetler.
Yeah, I know. I remember
but anyway, point right, is like, yeah,
we respect him. It just went off the rails. Big deal. Things happen.
Correct. I don't want to, and never wanted to make it a lack of respect or anything like that, but we were critical of Kayvon.
Yeah.
That got blown out of proportion on social media. Carl saw that,
mm-hmm,
didn't respond well to that, and then came on with an agenda to, like, prove us wrong. And all I wanted was a simple answer.
Yeah.
Like, I would, whether he gave us why we're wrong about Kayvon or show me why he's critical, like, that's what he gave on that Believe Network. That's the kind of analysis that you're looking for. Now, it was harsh and critical, but that's what you're looking for.
That's what we were looking for. Now, maybe he felt more comfortable talking with the, yeah, Papa, which obviously makes sense. He's been doing games with Papa forever. Yeah, that was that was obviously very interesting. And you're right. I have been and remain good friends with Carl. A lot of it goes back to the St. John stuff, as you know. But I was taken back that day because, number one, what we were saying that day was right. I mean, people could try to revise history. And we've also said that Kayvon has grown. I've said put on some functional weight, a little more stout, a little better in run support. I've said that. And I think Kayvon's having a good, not a great, good year. And I really do like him as a player. Now, top 10 pick, I want to see a little bit more, whatever. But he's obviously a good football player. At the time, I don't know why Carl was so reluctant to stamp what we were saying was right when, at that point, we were right.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Don is calling from Tampa, Florida. What's up, Don?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Got one quick Giants thing, and if you give me enough time, I have three moves that I feel like if the Yankees are serious about really wanting to compete with the Dodgers and be the evil empire again.
All right, Don, do this, Don. We'll do this. Your Giants is your first instinct, so just give us the quick three Yankees thing. Maybe we'll get back, but and then get to the Giants. Quick, Yankees, go. One, two, three, go.
Well, here's the Yankee thing. So sign either Bellinger or Tucker, one or the other.
Yep.
Second thing is, and this is actually the one I really want the most, is to sign Bo Bichette.
Go ahead.
I want him being our shortstop next
year. He's a horrendous defensive shortstop. Next. He's awful.
I don't care.
Okay.
I want him anyway.
You might not
know. Anyway.
Go ahead.
I want him anyway.
All
and
right.
then I don't know if there's a lot of truth to the whole chatter about Harper in Philadelphia, but Harper, in my opinion, should have been a Yankee a long time ago. If they could find a way to get Harper at first base, then we'll go to war with those three guys.
Okay, Giants stuff. Interesting. We can get back to the Yankee stuff after. Yeah, what about the Giants?
So the Giants thing to me, Francesa talks a lot about on his podcast the idea that one of the biggest challenges that coaches have when they're newer coaches in the league is the ability to find a good staff. Just with the challenges of talent and lack of talent, et cetera, et cetera. I know yesterday you guys were talking a lot about the responsibility that falls on Daboll and whether or not he should be back based on how this season unfolds. I still feel like, and I called you guys before after the debacle when they lost to Dallas, and it's just gotten worse with the way that they lost to Denver. And I really blame most of the defeat of this season and the disappointment of this season at the feet of Bowen rather than Daboll, but obviously Daboll hired Bowen. That's his fault for bringing Bowen in. And the reason why they were most successful that first season, I still will always say, was because of Wink. And that whole fallout there between Wink and Daboll, I believe, was the beginning of this entire, debacle over the last 3 years. I don't know. I think Daboll should get another shot to find another defensive coordinator. And he's just got to make a better decision that does fall on him as the leader.
Right.
But I still think the real blame here is on Bowen and his lack of ability to use the weapons.
He's terrible.
That Shane has gotten him on the defensive side.
He's awful. Good call.
And thank you for the call, Nas.
I mean, look,
you could blame the defensive coordinator. Mm. A lot of us have here. To me, that's on the head coach. He's the one who brought him in. They've had issues here, as you mentioned, with Wink before that. They need to figure it out. Their defense should be better than what it is. So I don't want to hear the excuses. I don't care if it's Dexter Lawrence. I don't care if it's Abdul Carter. I don't care if it's Shane Bowen. They need to figure it out. Bottom line is they keep losing football games. It can't just be, wow, it's a defensive coordinator. Wow, no, the defensive players aren't performing up to their level. Well, it's everything. It's the head coach who's in charge. It's his record that is on the line. And if he doesn't figure it out over the final 9 games, he might be looking for a job again as a coordinator. So Daboll is the head coach. He's the one in charge. He's the one responsible for the defensive calls, for the offensive calls, for how the players play. Figure it out. That's where I would have the buck stop with him, with the head coach.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, the first thing he started about with the Yankees, Bellinger, Bichette, and Harper is on his wish list. Of course, we all want Bellinger back. Bichette, I don't think that's going to happen. Number one, they still have Volpe. He's not a good defensive shortstop. He's an amazing hitter. And I don't think the Yanks are going to give him 6-7 years, so I don't think Bichette's coming here at all. And I thought there was maybe a little bit of life to the Harper stuff, and you and I were talking about this during the break with Hoff. I think it's been shot down since, where Dombrowski was a little critical, but I think that's probably going to resolve itself. And the other thing, too, like if they lose Schwarber, and they very well might, if you're Philly, how do you go into the 2026 season without Schwarber and Harper?
Yeah, I don't think there's any way they trade. I don't even know if Bryce is, as much as I love him as a player, I don't know if he's tradable at this point. Look at the contract.
Yeah, I haven't looked
at
his contract.
Look at the production that you've got. Plus, he hasn't been great.
I know.
Now, I like his attitude, his makeup, and I still trust him in a big spot in the postseason. But, I mean, why do you think the Phillies have failed in the postseason? They have 2 years in a row, they've been massive, massive disappointments. And I think that's in large part due to what Schwarber and Bryce Harper haven't been able to do in a short playoff series. Not saying that they can't break through, but, and I'm not saying he wouldn't be great in New York or be a great Yankee. Like, I love a lot about Bryce Harper. I don't think now, I think the ship has long sailed on Bryce Harper to the Yankees.
He's 33. I mean, that feels like an old Yankee move. I'm not, and I love the guy. I think he looks sick in the uniform, and when he catches one, you know, bombs in the upper deck.
He's a gamer. He's got the attitude.
He is a gamer. Yeah, he'd look for the part. He'd have the headband, and he'd just fit in, and he'd be really good. Ah, man, I'm kind of with you. I feel as if that ship has sailed a bit. $27 million for... You know, actually, it's not that bad when you look at some of, like, some of these contracts.
How many more years?
So he's got 27 next year, 27 the year after, 27 in 2028, and then it goes down to 23, 23, 23. So six in total, three of 27, three of 23. I mean, it's actually not horrendous, but I think it's a year or two too late.
You have his stats up there?
I got everything. Well, yeah, what
was his production this year?
You know,
just give me the OPS the last couple years.
I was going to say I was going to go to Savant, which is a better, but I'll keep it on Baseball Reference. All right, last couple of years, standard batting, OPS, I mean, still good, man. So in 2023, OPS 900.
Right.
In 2024, OPS 898.
Right.
And in 2025, this past year, almost 850.
Okay.
OPS still really good.
And I know he was banged up the majority of this year.
Missed 30 games this year, missed 15 the year before, missed 40 the year before that.
He was bad in the postseason the last couple of years.
Yeah.
That's the one.
I have that for you as well. You want the postseason stuff? All right. So when he first got, I won't go back to the Nationals, but so with the Phillies.
Well, he had the one big year when they got to the World Series.
Yeah. So 500, I'm just giving you the average. I'll give you the OPS for the different series he's played in as a Philly. 1100, 1500, 1200, 760, 542, 1700, 858, 1279, 600. That's a lot of banging.
Yeah, that's a lot of numbers.
But this year, obviously, was 600. Quick.
Yeah, I mean, look, you could do worse, certainly, than Bryce Harper. That's moving some things around. I don't think the Phillies are going to make him available, and I'm not so sure how many teams would be in on that at his age with the way that things have gone as of late. But if it happened, I mean, I'd be excited about it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Been waiting 2 days for this. 2 days I've been waiting. Devin and Tiki on the Fan. Carl Banks, the great Carl Banks, who does the analysis with Bob Papa for every Giant game right here on WFAN, had some very critical comments of Dexter Lawrence. And you knew, okay, a few days later, Dexter will be asked about these comments, and it'll be interesting to see how he handles it. Before we take a listen to Dexter Lawrence's response, if you missed it or you need a reminder, here is the biting criticism from Carl Banks about Dexter Lawrence on the Believe podcast. The
Believe in Giants
podcast. The Believe in Giants podcast.
Dexter Lawrence, nobody respects you anymore. Nobody. Your opponents do not. The pre-injury Dexter is not there in their heads. They don't respect you. And there's a difference. You're on the field. They're blocking you with a 9-year backup center. You're not making a difference. The old Dexter would. Okay? There are a lot of things that go into your performance. Only you know what that is. Whether you're still recovering or not, I'm just telling you now, I'm looking at enough tape to know that your opponents don't respect you. Not like they used to. And here's the thing. When Darius Alexander gets in the game, when Roy Robinson gets in the game and they substitute for you, those guys
DJ Davidson.
Those guys are making plays against the same guys that are blocking you. I'm going to just say this. Again, I don't know the circumstances. It's time for you to start expecting more of yourself. I don't know if you're injured. I don't know if you've fully recovered. But it's time to start asking more of yourself because they don't respect you.
Damn. That's some biting criticism from Carl Banks. So you knew once Dexter Lawrence was able to meet the media, it would be brought to his attention. Now, how would you handle this if this was said about you? You're playing. I'm trying to think of the former Phil Sims, you know, because he was an analyst at the time.
Yep.
Phil Sims is like, I'll try his accent. Tiki Barber, you should be embarrassed. Tiki, they don't respect you. So you hear it. Right. You're also a very self-critical guy. So you'd probably be like, let me see what he's saying, blah, blah, blah. Right. Now the media says, hey, what do you think of Phil Sims and what he said about you? What road would you take?
I would say Phil's right. I got to be better.
You think Dexter did that?
No. Today's athlete doesn't do that. They're not self-critical. They want to fight. They grew up in a social media world where you go tit for tat back with people on social media.
So that's your assumption?
That's going to be my assumption.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here it is. Set it up, Sean, if it needs set up, because Dexter was asked about this. Go ahead.
Okay, so you're going to hear one clip and then a second clip with a follow-up. The first clip is just simply your response to Carl Banks.
All right, let's hear it.
I don't really know what he's watching, but hey. He can say what he wants. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, trying to help us get a win. That's it.
When you hear something like that, is that more of a motivator for you? Or?
Nah, but if people listen to him, let's say this. I hope people start trying to disrespect me. Let's say that.
I actually like that response.
Well, he wasn't done, Tiki. Our own Connor Hughes kept pressing him.
Okay.
Were you surprised that Carl chose to air those criticisms of your game the way that he did on the podcast as opposed to coming in here or seeking out in the building to talk to you?
Yeah, those are strong words, but that's how you feel.
Those words mean more that they're coming from him?
No.
Like a giant legend?
No.
No?
No.
Why not?
He's delusional. No.
I thought it was going well till the end.
He's delusional.
It doesn't mean anything that it's coming from him. He's delusional. So is that what you expected?
No, but whatever. Just play well.
No,
at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to.
At the end of the day, you're right. Just play well.
Right. If you don't give them anything to criticize, then it's all, you know what, and giggles. So just play well. That's all it comes down to.
You're 1,000% right. The answer to any problem is just play better. 1,000%. I think the problem he runs into is if I'm a Giant fan or even not, I'm as an IFO listening to this, it's perceived that Dexter Lawrence thinks he's playing great and that there is no issue.
Mm.
And so that's why acknowledgement, even if you don't fully agree with what Carl said,
right.
Like, yeah, I'm not having a great year. I got to be better. I don't agree with his assessment,
In Carl's defense, he's looking at what deep offenses are doing to Dexter Lawrence, and that is not double-teaming him as much as they used to.
Right.
They still do double-team him every here and there, but it's not like you used to see it. So it just, Carl is taking that as a, we can handle Dex with one-on-one block.
Right, and that's where it comes to they don't respect you.
Yes.
If they believed you were the old sexy Dexy,
yes.
There would be as frequent a double team as you're used to.
Yeah, you'd be double team every play.
Interesting. As a Giant fan, how do you respond to this response, Sean?
I think two things were accomplished here. Number one, I hope Dexter Lawrence comes out even more motivated than ever. Maybe Carl Banks stoked some flames. And second of all, I'm pumped up that Carl Banks, you know, called this out because maybe Dexter Lawrence is the one that's a little delusional and he needs to go home and press on it. So I think Dexter Lawrence handled himself awesome. And I think Carl Banks was right to go do it. I actually think it's a win-win for the Giants. I love this. We need a little feistiness.
Yeah, I don't see why there's bad.
There's nothing bad about it.
Right, it's just...
I want the player to want more out of himself and feel like, you know, he's being pressed a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's also not really...
And who cares? Carl Banks hasn't played in 40 years.
Right.
So, like,
right.
What does it even mean?
No, he didn't grow up even watching him play.
30 years. How long has Carl been retired?
93, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so you're talking... 30 years.
It also means Dexter wasn't born.
Yes.
So, like, to Carl Bank, to Dexter Lawrence, I was saying this the other day about the NBA on NBC. To a lot of the active players, it's a story. They never actually watched the NBA on NBC. Carl Banks is a story. Even to some of the players now, you're right. A story. It's right. Like, oh, yeah, that guy played. They didn't grow up watching you.
Of course
play.
Not. They were 4 years old when I was playing football.
My only issue would be, do you take out of this Dexter Lawrence not even realizing that he's having a subpar year? Because that's the thing he should realize.
Yeah. But
do you think he really doesn't realize that?
Based on that answer? I don't know. But I'm just basing it on the answer,
but that's
Sean.
An answer to the media. When he puts his head on the pillow and goes and watches tape more than we could even imagine, I mean, well, Tiki would know.
Yeah.
You're telling me that Dexter Lawrence doesn't think he's not having the same year he typically does. He knows it.
But I also think that there's an excuse. And the thing that you have to, as an athlete, fight against is letting someone else make an excuse for you. So
true.
The excuses are always there, but you can't accept it. It's just that's not a reason why I'm playing poorly. When I was going through my fumbling things, it was always like, oh, you're not focused on this. You're just trying to make too big of a play. No, don't make an excuse for me. You fumbled the ball, right? It is what it is. I don't need an excuse. You know that you did it wrong. And so you just can't accept excuses.
Well, there is another piece of audio. This is still going on, apparently, about Dexter Lawrence wanting to call out those that are watching the tape and saying that he's not getting the attention.
All right, let's hear that.
All right.
There's a lack of respect, I think, is based on the amount of attention you're getting, I would guess, double teams and things. Do you see that it has not changed at all in the last, you know, this year, last year?
Good question by Paul Schwartz.
About the attention that the opposing offensive lines are giving as far as, you know, double teams and things like that.
Y'all ask questions like y'all don't watch film.
I'm asking you.
Like... Yes, I get a lot of attention.
Because when Carl said they're not respecting you, he's talking about not respecting you by double-teaming you.
I get a lot of attention.
What's the best
check
way?
Check the numbers.
What's like, the best way to put
check those
comments?
Numbers.
Well, okay, can I ask a follow-up to you?
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to sit here and lie. I'm not watching Giant tape. Dexter's right. If he called me out on that and said, you're not watching the tape, you're damn right I'm not watching the tape. You watch a lot of tape. Even Sean watches a lot of tape.
Mm-hmm.
So as the tape watchers... Can you just tell us, is he seeing the same amount of double teams as he's seen in the past?
Well,
who's right?
Let's do it in real time. Let's just look at it.
Can you do that, like as a whole science experiment?
Oh, yeah. I'll do it in the next break.
Look at that. See, that's what I'm talking about, because when Dexter says that, like my response is, I don't know. I'm being honest with you. I'm watching every Giant game. I don't know if he's seeing fewer, less, the same, more double teams. Carl says it, and so you trust that Carl's watching the tape. But I've also learned that not everybody's perfect.
Okay, play one, single block.
One for one. Now, but before you continue, do you know how much he saw last year or the year before that?
I mean, it was almost every play.
It was every play.
I remember the Dallas game where they tried to prop up the Dallas offense, the center. I think it was a rookie center last year. You might have checked that. It might have been 2 years ago. And they said, oh, he did a great job. He had a perfect pass blocking grade against Dexter Lawrence. And maybe he did, according to PFF, but he got help on every single play.
Right, right.
And it's the rookie center was calling for help, like, give me the hand. Like, the guard is now helping, even though he's not helping you block, he's got a presence there. So if the center gets beat, the guard is right there protecting him. So there was a lot of attention paid to him last year.
This is obviously not going to be exact, but this is what the stats tell you. Last year, he faced a double team rate of 74.5%. So of all the almost three out of every four of his snaps, he was double teamed last year. Yes. That's what the stats.
That's last year.
Season. Last season. I want to say that because you want to say in comparison. That's
right. I'm looking at game the second play of the game. This was Saquon Barkley's 65-yard touchdown.
Yes,
he is also single block as a three technique on the guard.
So a 2-for-2 on no double teams.
Yes.
Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Boldy, let's start with the Carl Banks comments. I'm sure by now you've heard about it, but he was very critical of Dexter Lawrence. You were the first to be critical of Dexter Lawrence way back in either week one or week two. What have you seen? First of all, what did you think of Carl's comments, and what have you seen from Lawrence on film as you break it down?
I thought Carl was fair. I mean, he's just, you know, he's at every game. He's watching this stuff. You know, Dexter Lawrence went up against the center making his first NFL start at center. And Brett Toth, he's the backup center in Philadelphia. And you didn't hear Dexter's name mentioned. He got a half a sack there at one point. First time he's gotten a quarterback to the ground all year. But I just thought, like, okay, this kid, Brett Toth, who's never started a game at center, he's going to have his hands full with Dexter Lawrence. And the Eagles had their best day offensively all year and their best day running the football all year by far. And it wasn't even close. And so I didn't think he had much of an impact in the game. And you would think, like, a guy out there that's, just trying to snap the ball and, you know, get assignments down, all that kind of stuff, and an underused player, like, he would have his way with them, and he didn't.
All right, we all know he's not playing well, and I agree. I thought Carl was on point and fair. But you need to tell us why. Is it a lack of explosion? Is he out of shape? Is it technique? Why is he not doing much?
Yeah, I don't see his, he's always, obviously he's got size. You don't see, and there's guys that are that big in this league. I mean, Vita Vea in Tampa, there's a handful of them that are that size. And you see their enormous strength. Derrick Brown, sometimes Jalen Carter in Philly. You just see enormous strength that most people don't have. You don't see his strength. So some of that is a function of, is it conditioning? Because he doesn't look like he has. That was always the impressive thing about Dexter, at least in the last 2 years, since Wink Martindale really challenged him a few years back. And you saw him play a lot of snaps, 70, 75% of the snaps. And then you saw enormous strength where you go, this is a long, hard day. I mean, Jason Kelce has talked about it all the time. That was his toughest assignment. Is dealing with his size and strength, and you just don't see that on display right now.
You think that's a coaching thing, Boldy?
Mm. No. But players at this point, I mean, year seven, whatever it is now, you know how to play the game. Coaching isn't going to say, Shane Bone isn't saying, don't toss this guy across the field here. Like, players have to play, and I don't believe that has anything to do with scheme or coaching or anything else.
Okay. Hey, Boldy, we're both of the opinion here that the Giants should go get a receiver for Jackson Dart, not even for a playoff push, just to, help accelerate his development and, go through reads and, win some one-on-one matchups, blah, blah, blah. You agree with that?
Yes, I do. Because, Jalin Hyatt didn't play the other day. I know that Slayton got the touchdown pass. I don't understand the call. Like, he did, break loose. That was a terrible call on him, I thought. But
terrible.
I do think, like, this guy is, I think this kid is going to be special. But you gotta give him some help. Wandale has had moments this year, but he's a slot guy. Every once in a while, they'll put him outside. But they I believe that if you want to get the best out of Jackson getting ready for next year, go get him some help. And there's going to be some receivers out there, but I think they should be aggressive about it. I don't care how many games they've won. Like, this is all about his development right now. And so you lose Scatterboo, which is obviously just crushing. But I think that they need help at that position right now. And I'm a subscriber to what you're saying here. Like, go get him some help. Give him a chance.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. What about the other horrific call in that game, Baldy? What'd you think of the tush push? Could have been fumble that was not overturned or was not able to be reviewed.
You know, so I didn't really understand the whole trend. Like, I saw the play, and honestly, I mean, Jalen is reaching the ball out for the first down when Kayvon takes it out of his hands and has possession of it. Now, I don't know when I tried to figure out when the umpire was blowing his whistle. It was hard to say, but the whistle wasn't blown when Kayvon grabbed the ball. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, Brian, you know, Coach Dable's over there going, wait a second, I can't challenge this. Like, at first they said you can't challenge the call, whatever. Then he challenged it. So I'm like, okay, is there something else in the rule book there that should allow him to challenge it? Because honestly, I thought, you know, I don't know. I heard Kayvon talking about it in the locker room afterwards, and Burns, he's like, don't say anything, you're going to get fined. So, but I it's a different look. I'll just say this. It's a difficult play to officiate, because when does the forward momentum really stop? He's being pushed from behind. Like, Kayvon doesn't think the play's over by any stretch. And if the quarterback puts the ball out there in harm's way, and we see this all the time, whether quarterback sneak going over the top, guys punching the ball out, we see it all the time in this league. Like, I feel like that's a legitimate play by Kayvon that I thought it's difficult to officiate. I get it. But I don't know. I was kind of on Kayvon's side on that one.
No, there's no doubt. The refs were horrendous. That's not the only calls they messed up. They were bad. All right, so listen, nice to see Aaron Glenn get a win. It's good. We haven't really talked about Muji very often because, you know, the season's here, and why would you? But as the season develops, despite just the one win, Mason Taylor looks like a player. Membu looks like they got that right. Found the punter in McNamara. And the guy who I was roasting the first couple of games, Brandon Stevens, who he brought in as a free agent corner, like the last 4 or 5 weeks, he's graded out tremendously, not to mention the trade for Brownlee here. I think Muji quietly has put together some interesting pieces.
And Thomas at corner, who started for Sauce, played. Yep. I mean, look, Jamar Chase didn't end up in the end zone. Like, I know he gave him some throws, but like nothing got over his head. I thought he played well. Marinoa, the linebacker 51, yeah. I thought he played well. You can see contributions from the rookie class to help them win that game. And, you know, when you win a game like that, you're like, okay, you know, Kansas City was close, Tampa was close. Like, you start giving them a little bit more leeway, you know, after they win a game. Mm-hmm. But I would say all those young kids all showed up. And so even the rookie Aaron Smith, like, he made a 22-yard comeback. You don't see anybody run this league.
Yeah, he can run.
But the comeback throw on the timing from Justin, that was an impressive, like, that kind of opened your eyes a little bit, like, because he ran that corner all the way down the field off, and then came back to the ball nicely.
Yeah, that looked pretty good. Okay, so back to Mason Taylor for a sec. So it's funny, Jet fans, and I'm one of them, always fixate on the absence of a quarterback, obviously, but the Jets rarely have a tight end that can win matchups, and I think we all thought that Taylor could get open a little bit, but, and this is where I want you to tell us, like, I see him sticking his beak in there and delivering some really good blocks.
No, he's come a long ways. Like, they went to a lot of what we call YY formation, two tight ends, him and Rucker, and they did a good job on Breece Hall's 35-yard run, and even the touchdown run, they did a good job of sealing right there and working in tandem together. I think Mason Taylor's going to be a really good player. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the bloodlines are the bloodlines. That doesn't guarantee anything. But he does have real – like, I thought Breece could have hit him right away on the winning touchdown. Like, he's just very smooth in and out of breaks. I think the way that he moves, the way that he runs, and now the improved blocking, like, I honestly think they've got themselves a really good player there. And I think – second half of the season, I think we're going to see it.
What do you think was the worst loss, Baldy? The Giants blowing the game in Denver or the Bengals losing that game at home to the Jets?
I think Denver's loss, Giants loss, because everything had to go right for that one to happen. And, you know, look, the Bengals had a 15-point lead as well. So I don't know which one is worse.
And but to the winless, like, the Giants. The winless Jets. I mean, I'm with you. That's why I asked you the question. I just can't believe those comebacks, Baldy.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the league right now. I mean, the Jets made two stops at the end of the game, one to get the ball back to go down and score, and one once they did score to stop, you know, those two receivers from beating them, and they did. And so that was pretty impressive at the end by that by the Jets defense that, you know, hadn't really been able to stop a really good offense like that.
We know it's still pretty early, and we know that you're wrapped up in the NFL stuff. And I asked you this maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago, and it was really early. Any updated opinion now? And I know we know it could change who the best quarterback is in college. I like Mendoza. How about you?
I like Mendoza also. I mean, Indiana's rolling. So, you know, he looks special. I don't know. I honestly, I'm doing Texas Tech and BYU next weekend out there in Lubbock. I think Mahomes are actually going to be there on the sideline for that one. But, I haven't really studied him enough to know. Like,
all right.
I mean, still really early.
What are your expectations, Baldy, as far as the wins, losses go the rest of the way for both the Giants and the Jets? Start with the Giants at 2-6. I still think the expectation should be raised to where they could be winning some of these games. I think Dable needs to show that. What are your expectations for the Giants win-loss-wise the rest of the way?
Well, they've got a pretty undermanned San Francisco 49er team coming to town. I mean, they lost their two best defensive players, Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. They were unimpressive on Sunday, to say the least. Robert Saleh is coming back to that stadium. Week before, he had his defense playing lights out. Bryce Huff, who didn't play last week, was awesome. We'll see if he can go. But I think they got a chance to win that game. They don't scare you offensively at all. McCaffrey got completely shut down by Houston. So, that's that. And I think, when the Jets come back from this this bye week, they play Cleveland at home. I mean, Cleveland is they're very similar. They got all rookies playing everywhere. Rookie tight end, rookie quarterback, rookie running backs, rookies all over the defense. I mean, go win that game. And it's a Darren Mooji game. Go show us your young guys have a chance to develop and be a part of the future.
By the way, Giants minus San Francisco minus 2.5, obviously coming across the country. Real quick, final thing for me, the way Aaron Glenn has handled the media this year, you're from here, but you've been all around the country, stabilized with a win. Do you like the feistiness? Is it too much? How do you process what Aaron's been doing so far? More the verbal jousting back and forth.
Yeah, I think by trying to be friends or funny, glib, I don't know that wins anybody over. 0-7 is 0-7. You get the win, you get the win. I mean, I just think stonewalling and not really saying anything is not a bad approach at this point, because everybody's going to have their own opinions about who the Jets are when the record says what they are, and maybe he made a mistake with the quarterback, all these kind of things. Like, he has to kind of... Yes, Sunday showed us some things that, yes, maybe they are getting some work done. We don't see the penalties that we saw last year, that we saw in the first 5 weeks. We saw a real cut down in that. And so let's just see it kind of grow a little bit here with them. I don't have any problem with this approach at this point. I know it's not New York media friendly at this point, but I don't think by going the other direction, he does them any favors.
Last one from me, Baldy. The record is what it is, but maybe even more of an indictment is what Daniel Jones has done in the first year away from Brian Daboll and the Giants. What do you think is the reason that Daniel Jones has been able to have so much success right away with Steichen in Indianapolis when he couldn't get it going here?
I hate to say stability, because that has not been a great stable franchise. They've been terrible. They haven't found a quarterback, and they've gone through them all. Carson Wentz, Philip Rivers. I mean, you went through a bunch of Matt Ryan, and went through quarterbacks like crazy trying to find it. But Shane Steichen went to a Super Bowl with the Eagles, won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. He didn't win one, but he went to the Super Bowl with the Eagles. He's a great play caller. Their talent around Daniel Jones is elite, but his playing, he's as good as anybody in this league right now. I mean, Drake May is playing really good, and Jordan Love is playing good. But I mean, honestly, he's as good as anybody right now. And it's every throw. Like, I just think the offense and the talent around him is elite, and he just can just do his job right now. All right, here's the open receiver. Let's throw it to him. But it's crazy to see how good he is right now.
So that's not a coaching thing, in your opinion?
Oh, it's coach. I think it's a big deal. It's a big part of his coaching. I think with Shane Steichen and the offensive line coach is really, really good. The line is really stable. They got the leading rusher in the league. Like, I think a lot of – but the way that they designed the offense – it looks like it's number one offense football, but it looks almost unstoppable at this point. And Daniel Jones is making it go.
Well, Boldy, the bottom line is this. When you've got, you know, three, four, five holes on the offense every year like he did with the Giants, not to mention some bad coaching, you're asking Daniel Jones to be something that he's not capable of being. And that's an elevator of substandard talent. You plug in real players around him and a real coach. He's certainly good enough to win. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the year that they went to the playoffs, he ran for 800 yards that year, you know, including the win against Minnesota. He ran for 800 yards, and it was a big part of the offense was him and Saquon running. Like, they're not asking him to do that. You know, they've got Jonathan Taylor. Like, they've got an all-pro, all-world left guard. They rebuilt the interior of their offense line. Their tight end looks like Mark Bavaro. Like, it's just, you know, they've got a slot receiver. They've got two outside receivers. And honestly, I haven't seen anybody defend that offense yet properly.
Thank you, Boldy.
It's a function of the talent and the coaching.
Thank you, Boldy. We appreciate your time as always.
Good job, man.
A pleasure, guys.
All right, it was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Football Friday, and while the record isn't great for the Giants, I do think we have to get to a point where we start raising the expectations. Forget about the postseason or all those different things. Forget about the tough schedule. That's been the narrative that I'm sick and tired of hearing about all year long. The Giants have the quarterback. He is in play here. We're watching him. Of course, we're going to learn more about Jackson Dart each and every week, but the expectations going up against a 49ers team that has been banged up all season long, and they've been okay, whatever, 5-3 on the year. Okay, they're fine. But they're not unbeatable. And when you're talking about a home game, when you're talking about a team that has now the offense in place, remember, that was always the biggest question with Brian Daboll, whether it was Daniel Jones, whether it was Russell Wilson, and now, of course, Jackson Dart. Well, he's an offensive guy. How's the offense going to look for this Giants team? And that part has looked very good, even without Malik Nabers. And now it's going to be without Malik Nabers and Cam Scadaboo. But I still have confidence that the Giants offense is going to be able to score points, is going to be able to move the football. Even in a game where they lost in New Orleans, moved the football, just turned it over way too many times. So the offense for the Giants has gotten to the level where you expect them to compete week in, week out. Now, to me, is where we need to watch the defense. And that's not obviously about the Jackson Dart development. It's not exciting. It's not sexy. It's not seeing if Jackson Dart can play, you know, protect himself and play less reckless football, meaning protect the football, protect his body, all those different things. You're going to have issues with a kid as competitive as he is and plays the game as hard as he does and runs the football the way that he does. We'll evaluate that, sure. But Brian Daboll is going to be judged in the final nine games on his win-loss record. And the way that that win-loss record improves is if the defense, with a bunch of big-name players, actually does its job. I don't care what Dexter Lawrence says, what Carl Banks says, what BT or me have to say. They need to go out there and do it. Whether it's Dexter himself, whether it's Kayvon Thibodeau, whether it's Burns, whether it's Carter, whether it's the guys in the secondary, I don't want to hear injuries excuses. I don't want to hear the linebacking excuses. I don't want to hear, pressure's almost getting to the quarterback. I don't want to hear this almost defense. I don't want to hear about high altitude blowing games that you never should blow. I don't want to hear about the prevent defense and the coordinator Bowen. I want to see wins. This team, certainly defensively, preseason, pre-Jackson Dart, defense was supposed to be the identity of this Giants team. That's how many people, I wasn't one of them, but many people believed in this Giants team. Before Jackson Dart ever set foot on the field, it was going to be about the defense leading the way to a competitive season. And that eventually transitioning to Jackson Dart and seeing how he would develop in his rookie season, whenever that may be. So why now, just because Jackson Dart comes into play and the offense has been moving the ball and exciting everybody with the way that they've been scoring points, getting touchdowns? Remember just a few weeks ago how hard that was? Well, now they do it with regularity, scoring a bunch of points. That's not why they lose. They lose because of the defense. That was supposed to be their identity. And if Brian Daboll can't figure out how to get this defense to play better, whether it's people in the organization criticizing one of their best players, maybe trying to motivate him, whatever it may be, I don't care. But I need to see different results. Otherwise, everybody should go. The guy who brought in the players on that defense, Joe Shane. The guy who's coaching those players on the defense, Brian Daboll. And then, of course, some of the players themselves. I don't want to hear about the extension from Kayvon Thibodeau. I don't want to hear about the trade rumors with Kayvon Thibodeau. I want to see them go out there and play. Play New York Giants football. Play New York Giants defense. And go beat the 49ers at home. A beatable team. You're going to likely have Mac Jones. He's a sitting duck back there. Go get him. All right, yeah, McCaffrey's tough. What, you can't stop the run? All those guys you have, you can't stop Christian McCaffrey? Figure it out. Figure out a way. Because regardless of how good Jackson Dart is, that's the future. Obviously, it's a part of now, too, but you're excited about the future with Jackson Dart. That's not going to change. So what are we waiting for here to start actually winning some football games, to judge this team based on wins and losses? It's the defense that cost them against Dallas, even with Russell Wilson, who had a historic day. Wasn't his fault. Wasn't the offense's fault. You could blame the offense in Washington. Can't blame them week 2 against the Cowboys. That's on the defense. Offense gives you repeated leads, especially one with under a minute to go. Figure out a way to close it out. They didn't. Okay, learn from that. Denver game. Figure out a way to close it out. You had a big lead. Defense was playing great through 3 quarters. No excuse to allow 30-plus points in the 4th quarter. No excuse. It just doesn't happen. Even for a rough defense, that's hard to do. And this was not supposed to be a rough defense. This was supposed to be their identity. It's getting overlooked because of the emergence of Jackson Dart and Scataboo. Think about how exciting both Dart and Scataboo have been to the level that we overlook, certainly early on, the season-ending injury to Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers became an afterthought. He was an afterthought because everybody was excited about Dart and Scataboo. Of course, you missed him, but it wasn't, oh, how are we ever going to score any points without Malik Nabers? It was, oh my God, we got Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo. And they were winning. Even just a couple of games, a lot more than we've seen in the last several years. But it's about the defense. That's where the primary focus should be. Not about the beef between Carl Banks and Dexter Lawrence. Not about Kayvon Thibodeau maybe being traded, maybe being, you know, keeping him here another year and potentially extending him. Not about Abdul Carter almost getting to the quarterback. Get to him. Get to him. That's what we need to see. And I expect it to happen. I believe it's in there. At the very least, to another level. If you're not going to say to a great level. Remember, we were talking to whoever it may be. Baldy. We had Kevin Burkhardt on before week 1. And we're asking him about, hey, is this going to be a potentially top 5 defense? All right, maybe not top 5 defense, but certainly should be a very good defense in the NFL. Look at the players that they have. And maybe the one thought was, well, if the defense isn't going to be good, it's going to be because the offense can't move the football and they'll be on the field way too long, way too often. That's not the case. So while standings-wise, this game on Sunday with the Giants and 49ers doesn't mean a ton, when you're 2-6 and you're in last place yet again, and you feel like season is lost because you lost Scataboo, no Nabers, I get it. They didn't make a trade acquisition, at least not yet. It feels like all hope is lost and it's not about the record. But make no mistake, this is not just about evaluating, and it certainly shouldn't be. It's not just about evaluating a rookie quarterback and his new head coach. This guy has been here for 4 years. And even myself, I've said it, well, it's kind of like year 1 here with Shane and Daboll and drafting their rookie quarterback. Yeah, it is in that regard. And those guys have already passed that test. Dart appears to be the guy. Daboll has coached Dart and that offense well enough that even without Nabers, they've scored a bunch of points and have won some games. Obviously, like we said, a new challenge now without Scataboo. No excuse. Go out there and do it. And I believe that the offense will continue to produce and look the way that it has, for the most part, under Jackson Dart, which is significantly better than anything that we've seen before with Brian Daboll. So, check. Dart seems to be the guy. Check. Daboll seems to be the guy to maximize what Dart can do. Check. Obviously, you want to see how that plays out the rest of the 9 games as well. But what we don't know is if Brian Daboll knows how to win football games yet. We saw it at a mild level in year 1, but that gets erased when you have the significant regression that we've seen in the 3 years since. It also gets erased when you see the way that they've continued to lose games. The kicker situation dating back to a year ago. The blown leads. The, you know, last second losses, whatever it may be. That continues to happen. That has to stop. If you are a backer in Brian Daboll or want to believe in Daboll and want to see more of him, that's where you should be looking. Not about just Jackson Dart and his development or his emergence. You should be looking to see what that defense can do. And it's an easy out to just blame Bowen. Oh, defensive coordinator. Like, come on, you got to remember. Wink Martindale was here. Him and Daboll had issues. Wink Martindale no longer here. It can't just be, well, fire Bowen and everything's going to get fixed. Or, oh, get healthy in the secondary and everything's going to be better. I'm not so sure. Are the players actually good enough that they brought in to have success defensively? And are the coaches good enough to maximize whatever players they have there to close out games, to get wins, to make plays? Right now, the evidence tells me no. Whether it's playing Abdul Carter out of position, whether it's playing a prevent defense late in games, whether it's not maximizing what Dexter Lawrence can do, it may not be a scheme thing, but you better believe that a motivation thing should be coming from a coach. The great ones, the great coaches, they don't even really have to motivate their great players. So why is Dexter Lawrence needing to be motivated by Carl Banks? Why can't the Giants themselves do that? Those are things that I'm looking for on Sunday in what I believe to be a very winnable game against a good 49ers team. Good 49ers team. Last week's loss to the Eagles, I'm kind of throwing that out. Look, is it nearly impossible to sweep, especially for the Giants from their perspective? Eagles Super Bowl champs, good enough to beat them once in your house. Haven't swept them since 2007, haven't won there since 2013. I'm going to throw, plus they got screwed over every which way by the officials. I'm going to throw that out. The week before, they should have beaten Denver, who I think is the best team in the NFL. And at the very least, if you want to say the Chiefs, so be it. You can't make, like, I can make as good an argument as you can for anybody else outside of the Chiefs. And I can still make an argument that I think they're better than the Chiefs. They have a better record. Start there. For now, point is, Giants had them beat. They had Denver beat in their building and beat them good. So I'm going to look at that being more the norm. Even with the injuries, this is a very, very winnable game. Go win it. Because if 2-7, or if 2-6 turns to 2-7, and 2-7 somehow turns to 2-8, or you're looking at 3-11, then there is no more argument to be made. I get the appeal of pairing Daboll and Dart. I get it. I also understand winning games is important. And I'm not so sure this head coach knows how to do it. And based on evidence so far, the evidence is against him. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Brian is calling from Northport. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Sal, how you doing? Thanks for taking the call.
How are you, Brian?
Listen, I'm doing good, except for this season. I'm a huge Giants fan. I want to know, if you had the pro and con box, what are the reasons to keep Daboll? I used to be a huge supporter. To me now, the only pro I have in him is his, you know, his passion on the sideline. That's it. You know, that's what was missing with Robert Saleh. I don't get what the reason for keeping him is, because I feel like in that Denver game, I was in the third quarter. We were shutting them out, and I still was just looking at the clock, looking at the clock. My wife said, "Oh, we're going to win." I'm like, "Would you please stop?" And then it just crumbles. And I feel like he finds ways to lose, not to win.
Look, his passion is certainly an asset. I love that about Brian Daboll. The other thing would be the obvious one. They selected, and mainly Daboll selected, Jackson Dart as his guy. He's the guy. That's a huge, huge positive. However,
yes.
However, Brian, where I'm with you is that it's got to start resulting in wins. 2-6 is 2-6. And the way that they're losing these games, there is a difference in just losing a game and saying, ah, well, you know what? They gave it everything they had. They just got beat by the better team. That would have been okay if that happened in Denver to me. It was okay that it happened in Philly. I'm okay with that. The losses that they had in Dallas, the losses that they had a year ago in Washington without the kicker, the loss that they had in Denver, that can't happen, especially in year four when there's no more excuse when you have players on defense and you have your quarterback.
And it doesn't look good with, obviously, we all talked about Daniel Jones, who I'm happy for. I'm thrilled with his success. Good for him. But we can't keep hanging our head on the one win 3 years ago or 4 years ago in Minnesota. That's it. That's all we got.
Correct. And he is, and thank you for the call, Brian. Good stuff. He has regressed. Dable has regressed significantly. Not to mention, as we had, BT and I talked about that earlier in the week. To me, the biggest indictment of Brian Dable might, in fact, be the success that, and it's not just Dable, it's Shane as well, the success that Daniel Jones has had in Indianapolis. Because why is Jones able to have that success immediately, but he couldn't do that here, period? It's either A, because he wasn't coached the way he's being coached in Indianapolis, or B, the structure around him, the organizational structure and the pieces around him are better. Which is an indictment of Joe Shane. And it's probably a little bit of A and B. And it's year four. Which is why when you say, okay, well, it's great that they got the quarterback. Well, I want to see them win. So if they have the quarterback and the offense is fixed, which it is, why then aren't they winning games? And the easy out would be, wow, it's Denver. They're very tough, Sal. You didn't think they went. Correct. I know. But I also didn't think they'd be up 19-0. I also didn't think they'd have a lead late, scoring another dagger touchdown the same way they did against Dallas and blow that. So the way the game played out to me is a big difference. Too many times we're sitting there watching a frustrated Brian Dable fall just short of winning a game for a variety of reasons. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. Paul is calling from Buffalo. What's up, Paul?
Sal, how you been, man?
Good, Paul. How are you, my friend?
I am good, man. Details in life are everything. And your costume today is detail rich and just funny as heck fire, man.
Are you watching on YouTube?
Glasses.
You're watching?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you checking in on YouTube. Yes, I am dressed up. We could get into that in a little bit. But thank you very much, Paul. Appreciate you watching.
And as a Yankee analytics nerd, I have to ask you, should we trade Carlos Rodon this offseason while his value is high? Because as I've told you for years in the overnight, starting pitchers just aren't worth paying. Rookies are dominating this postseason, with the exception of Yamamoto, who is earning his money for the Dodgers. Boy, I hope he has one tonight, too.
You know, just,
I'd like to see a Game 7.
Well, I don't know. Thank you for the call, Paul. I don't know if I'd like to see a Game 7. I'd probably like to see the Dodgers go home, although I could see the drama. When would Game 7 be? Tomorrow night? I got something to do tomorrow night. I hope it ends tonight. Tonight I'll be home after the trick-or-treating a little bit with my daughter and my wife. And watch the game, maybe see it end, hope for the Blue Jays. Tomorrow night's going to be a pain in the neck because I'm going out. I don't want to deal with that. Yeah, trade Carlos Rodon for who? For what? You're not trading Carlos Rodon? And just to be clear, I am not a Yankees analytics department member. If you're checking out on YouTube, it'll probably be posted on social at some point here soon. I am a member of the Yankees DON, Department of Nerds. As you see here on my pocket, D-O-N, Department of Nerds. I mean, that's what the Yankees have. Why not come up with the Department of Nerds costume today? So glad you enjoyed that. Patrick is in Melville. What's up, Patrick?
As I'm sure Aaron Boone will
when he gets word. Hey, we got to get that picture. Can somebody send me the picture that we took? I want to text that to Booty just to make sure he doesn't miss that. Go ahead, Patrick.
Yeah, so, you know, I think the big thing about the Giants is it's real. The owner is just loyal to a fault. I mean, he keeps, like, putting his, you know, it's kind of like the definition of insanity, doing the thing over and over again, expect a different result. I mean, Dable's had 4 years. I mean, I'm glad for Jones' success. He wouldn't have had it here. But I just think that you don't really have to tie your head that that Dart needs Dable to be a coach. Because you can just tell that if you have the right coach. I mean, look, for example, look at what the guy's doing in New England. I mean, Drake May looked like a mess last year because he had a horrible coach, and now New England looks like a totally different team, and they're basically a playoff team. So I think we need to stop, and sometimes you just got to rip the Band-Aid off. I mean, and it goes over and over again. Like, the Eagles had Carson Wentz, who was basically a Super Bowl, almost took him to the Super Bowl. They got him out, and they got a new quarterback. It's it's just time. Sometimes you just got to move on and try to find a better thing and just keep thinking that the same old thing is actually going to do better.
Let's not make it, and thank you for the call, Patrick. Let's not make it like Brian Daboll is the only coach who could have success with Jackson Dart. Now, while I say that, I am also somebody that who has said, I want to give them a chance. This is weeks ago, before they even started winning. For me, it was less about what Dable's done in the past and more about, okay, well, now I really want to evaluate him with the guy that he picked. But once you pass that test, now it's okay. Well, now it's on to the next test, which is why I'm saying I don't necessarily want to break them up. I'd like to keep it here and see them have success. What I'm saying is the final nine games are, for me, an evaluation of the team overall as a whole. I'm looking at the defense. I don't want to hear the excuses anymore. The offense has been fixed, even with the injuries. And there are certain things that you will excuse from a rookie. See, I have excused them, and this is why I'm telling you that I'm consistent. I excused them from the Saints loss. I picked the Saints to win that game because I understand that things happen in the NFL, especially with rookie quarterbacks. And that's exactly what happened down in New Orleans. Now, you'd still like to see the Giants win that game. It's the only win the Saints have this year is against the Giants. But it shows you their margin for error, the Giants, is not nearly enough. But they did turn the ball over five times. But while they turned over five times, they moved the football consistently. So I chose to, at that point, which was start two for Jackson Dart, say, okay, well, at least they moved the football consistently. The rookie mistakes will get cleaned up, and when they do, they will win games. And they did just that the following week against the Eagles. But then when you blow a game like they did in Denver, that's showing that how can I trust that the coach knows what he's doing when even the pieces that he has played well enough to have a big lead in the fourth quarter and they still found a way to lose that game? And that's happened often, multiple times over multiple years. I need to see that get cleaned up before I just say, well, I need to see more with Daboll and Dart. I have to see that get cleaned up first. Otherwise, what he does with Dart to me is irrelevant. BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls when we come back. I came dressed today as Yankees Department of Nerds. BT came dressed as the Mets in the postseason. He's not here. He's out sick, so he couldn't make it in today.
This has got to be surreal for the young man who comes here from Utah and obviously plays in the SEC. He's been around big things. And that was some of the trepidation I had about him coming to New York fresh off of Zach Wilson because they went to the same high school. They are two totally different people. And Jackson Dart, who, even though the team is 2-6 and things don't feel great, is still the focal point of this team that makes this season special as long as he stays healthy, regardless of the outcome when it comes to the records. Now, it's just a matter of what the Giants organization looks like at the end of the year and if Brian Daboll is going to be the guy. But as we brought up, there's two examples in the NFL where they draft a guy and then they move on from the head coach in that first year, after the first year of the quarterback, and went in a different direction. And one's working out really, really well in New England. The other one's working out at least better than it did under the previous guy in Chicago with Caleb Williams.
Yeah, but Caleb Williams is not growing the way
as much as, but he's better than he was last year.
Yes, he is. And
that's all I'm saying.
And I'll say by maybe 25%. Drake May is like 90%
better. Yeah.
The one thing I will say, and I always judge this because I think Al has a really good sense of this, is Jackson Dart still worth watching the Giants for? Is it still appointment TV?
For me, yes.
Yes. All right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, for you, you know, I would say you're a casual NFL fan. You like the NFL game. You love different players. And
he hates the NFL now. What are you talking about? You don't listen to every warm-up show. He can't stand the commercials. He can't stand the penalties. He can't stand the players that are trying to draw penalties.
He still watches, though.
But through all that, I do love Jackson Dart.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So, yeah, that's real. And I think that's what we're all feeling.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. It's very, very exciting because we've seen all these guys come through in the last number of years, and no one's had the type of juice that Jackson Dart has had. So, yes, it's great, and it's really how, you know, him staying healthy, which is just a major, major thing, man, like such a big deal, obviously.
Oh, man, if something happens to him, man, Did they go back to Russell Wilson or did they go to Jameis?
I don't even want to think about it. Honestly, I don't even want to have the conversation. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, that's the number one priority. And the other one is, you know, growing through these games and using this season to, you know, sharpen his skills even more so. And then, you know, we'll see what this team looks like when it comes to the end of the year. And if Brian Daboll's the guy, I just don't know, like, you know, when it came to those other two organizations we talked about, so like Mike Vrabel gets fired. He is the perfect fit for New England. We all know why. His history there, everything else. I know they had hired Gerard Mayo. Doesn't work out. You know, Josh McDaniels is going to come back, which is amazing. You know, the Ben Johnson thing, he was the top offensive guy on the market to be a head coach. He had turned down jobs the previous year. He was a no-brainer to be the coach for the Chicago Bears, what they were looking for to pair with Caleb Williams. What are those examples for the Giants at the end of the year? I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. But those were two that made perfect sense for those two organizations to move on from the coaches that they had. You know, will that guy exist for the Giants when the season comes to an end?
If I had to guess, there are two coaches right now that I say are really popular coaches. Now, they're both college coaches. They both are entrenched at their respective universities. Both will be I think both of them will be lured or tried to be lured away from their respective universities if those universities don't step up and pay them. Do you have any idea who I'm talking
about? Dan Lanning?
Dan Lanning at Oregon, without question. And the other one?
Well, Indiana just paid
Lane
their coach.
Kiffin.
Oh, Lane Kiffin. Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know what their buyouts are. I have no idea. And I just can't imagine Dan Lanning leaving Oregon, you know, with Phil Knight, Nike money there and everything else. But those two guys seem to be the guys that, you know, are on everybody's radar, especially in college. But, you know, is it any better? Remember we were asking Coach Pitino, is it easier now than it was then? The coach, like 20 years ago, the coach these players, he goes, no, it's tougher now. It's tougher now because they come in with expectations and you got to find the right character guys that are going to buy into what you're selling. And what you're selling is, it's not about your personal brand. It's about our brand as a team.
I remember him saying, though, that there's a lot of kids now that aren't as much of a pain in the ass as the guys back in the day. Like, I forget what example. I won't say it even if I remember. There was one player he brought up that was like, this guy was the hardest guy that I ever had to coach.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
And he's like, and there's nobody like him that I have dealt with in the last 5 years.
But that's one person that wasn't dealing with the financial aspects of what these players are dealing with today.
Yeah.
You know, a St. John's guy that he brought in through the transfer portal and is, you know, going to pay him money to come here and play for St. John's, could turn around in the middle of the season, not be happy because his play time is down, and go right back in the transfer portal after the season's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's how do you build anything that way? Well, other than knowing that you have money in your back pocket that you're willing to spend, and you're going to try to build a team each and every year, and you're not going to be able to sustain anything.
Well, but in theory, that's what they did. I mean, they went to the tournament last year, ended up losing in the second round, but they came back this year and are already ranked higher than they were at any point last year.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is like going back to Bill Belichick at North Carolina. I mean, he brought in 70 new players. 70.
Yeah.
And had to get them ready to play major college football within 3 months. I mean, you know, he's a football coach. He's not a genie.
Sure. Yes. I mean,
and I know there's a lot of other stuff around him for sure. But, you know, I think when he was talking about like Coach Prime was talking about instant gratitude and we got to do this, we got to do that, and you got to win now. I mean, you know, Deion's been there for what, 3 years now?
Yeah.
And it's gotten
at least maybe is it 3?
Right. And I think it's gotten worse. Well, you know, since his son left and, you know, two sons left and Travis Hunter left. It has not gotten better.
Yeah.
So I can understand why there would be some frustration by Colorado Buffalo fans that this is all show and play and there's nothing of substance here. I think if you know Bill Belichick, if anything, he's trying to build a foundation and it takes time. But I don't necessarily know that given all the distractions around him that he's going to be afforded that time when this season finally is over. That will be the interesting thing to see if North Carolina is going to want to go back down this road again.
You know, Travis Hunter is, is a guy you don't hear nothing about. I mean, honestly.
Well, early on in the season, you heard a lot about him, and then all of a sudden he fell off a little bit. They're asking him to do a lot, and you know, he made a couple nice catches this last game. But
I mean, for the ballyhoo around him.
That's what I would say. You got to be careful when you draft these kids, man. You got to keep expectations at a minimum. Like, so whoever drafts Fernando Mendoza, who, by the way, this week is playing at Maryland.
Oh, okay.
So
going to go down there and watch?
We have...
Going to scout for the Jets?
No, I got Allie's birthday party.
Ah. How old is she now? 32?
She's 3.
Oh, that Allie. Oh, your granddaughter.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, no, not the Allie that works on the makeup.
Oh, okay,
no.
Yeah.
But no, what I was saying is that we have our own quarterback, and Malik Washington is really, he's a freshman. He's 6'5", 240 pounds. And he looks every part of going to be, you know, if it just stay at Maryland and build his legacy there, you know, we'll be talking about him in 2 years, about coming out in the draft. I believe that, but the question is will he be tempted to go somewhere else if he doesn't think he can win a national championship at Maryland? By the way, those two quarterbacks this weekend, 3:30.
Ooh. Eddie will be watching that. Are you going to be watching that one, Eddie?
If not watching live, recording it for sure.
No, okay.
Yeah. Is it what network? ABC, ESPN?
It's CBS, actually. Thank.
Do you have a favorite college football team, Eddie? You know, I never asked you that. You watch all of it. Do you have a favorite
one? I don't have one because, you know, when I grew up and was getting interested, the local team's really not that compelling.
No. No, I mean, that's why I didn't grow up a college football fan as well, being a Long Island guy. I got into it when I was working in the ACC with Pitt football. I really got into it, but then when I stopped working for them, I didn't care as much anymore.
3:30 on CBS.
Oh!
Indiana at Maryland.
CBS.
So you can watch a potential first overall draft pick quarterback for Indiana, and hopefully you'll see a potential first round draft pick freshman playing quarterback for the University of Maryland.
You can't count on much, but you can count on Indiana and Maryland on CBS 3:30.
Okay, since you said that, I'll say that Sports Talk on WFN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL and CBS and your pastor. And in Paramount Plus, watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started.
If you had to pick a team, Eddie, someone said you got to pick a team to root for. What's Army. Your lean? What's Army. Your lean? Come
on. It would be Army or Rutgers because they're the local one.
Okay. So you don't have like a favorite Big Ten team or a favorite SEC team?
No, I root against the ones that have been perennially good.
Alabama,
Georgia. How do you feel about Ole Miss? You got to like Ole Miss.
I like Ole Miss, yeah. Absolutely, because they haven't won. And if there's a perennial power that is down, I will then root for them. Before Saban was there, I wanted Alabama to be good again because it's good for the sport.
What about Vanderbilt?
That is a great story.
It is a great story. They got a pretty damn good quarterback.
Are you rooting for Nebraska to really be a factor?
Yes, I would love to see him get back to the Osborne days.
Hmm. We lost to Nebraska this year in a game we should have won.
Sorry.
We lost to Nebraska, Washington, and Washington, Nebraska, UCLA. All right at the end.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards.
True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.